Welcome to the Breakaway Podcast. We hope you're encouraged by the message and stick around for more at the end.
We're talking about temptation tonight as we finish up our series on the Lord's Prayer and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And it's interesting, that video was put together by some friends of ours at Watermark Church a couple years ago. And it's a great church, great video, a good study in human nature. But I will say this, as an illustration of temptation to sin, it falls short in one very key area. And I love the hearts of the church that did it. I love those guys, and I know their hearts. They love the Lord, and I have a great handle on the Word of God. And this thing is a good illustration of human nature. And yet, as a study of the nature of sin and temptation to sin, there's one glaring difference between this video and our struggle with sin. And that is that this video is cute. It's adorable. When heaven looks down at our struggle, it doesn't feel that way. Jeremiah 2 records a declaration that says, "Be appalled, O heavens. Be shocked and be utterly desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." It says that when heaven looks down at us and our struggles with sin, the rebellion against God that dwells in our hearts and manifests itself through our actions, when the heavens look down at us, they don't think it's cute. They don't think it's funny. Even though we might say, "Oh man, I got totally wasted last weekend. It was insane." Or, "Oh, I know I shouldn't have said that, but she deserved it, right? It was funny, right?" Like when we kind of talk about our sin as it's cute, heaven doesn't do that. The angels don't look at one another and say, "Yeah, my dude was totally hammered. It was hilarious." They don't say that. And so when they look at us, it isn't cute to see us nibble away at it. It says they're appalled, that they are shocked by it, that we would move away from the fountain of living water and hewn out broken cisterns that can't hold water. A more accurate description of their feeling would be if we watched a video of those kids, yet we watched someone take those little marshmallows and lace them with cyanide or rat poison. If we saw them do that, I tell you, we would have a very different emotional response to watching that video. We wouldn't giggle as we saw these kids take little nibbles of it. We would be screaming, "No, don't do that. Somebody stop that. Because that's destruction to them. Don't do it." It wouldn't be funny to us. And yet when heavens look down at us, they say, "Man, our toying with sin isn't funny to them because it is evil. Deliver us from evil." And all of us have a threshold to what sins we may think are funny that we see in movies or in our friends and what sins we think aren't. We all have some line where we say, "These aren't funny." I remember hanging out with a group of police officers one time, and one of them began to make jokes about how he shot a woman and her arm came off. And as he joked about it, I said, "You know what? I don't think that's funny at all." Or I remember sitting around with a guy who was making jokes about cheating on his wife. And I said, "See, I don't think adultery's funny. I think it's destructive." And all of us maybe have sins we laugh at, maybe sins we think are funny, but all of us have some line where we go, "Yeah, see, that's not funny to me. I don't think that's funny." And yet when the heavens look down and sees all of sin, when they look down and see our rebellions, our movements away from our Creator, they don't think it's funny. They think it's a waste. They think it's tragic. They think it's evil. And so when Jesus came to this earth, he came to destroy the works of the devil, is what 1 John says. He says, "I want to crush evil." It's interesting, Denzel Washington, when he did the movie American Gangster, they asked him to be this drug lord, and he said, "I won't do another movie that glorifies gangsters." Because he had seen The Godfather and seen Scarface, which were meant to be cautionary tales against selling drugs or doing things illegal. But what happened? Those movies were so cool, so hip, people fell in love with them. And you can go to the mall now and buy a big Scarface t-shirt if you want. Everyone thinks he's the coolest, right? With his big mountain of cocaine shooting people. And Denzel Washington said, "I'm not going to make another gangster a hero." He said, "I'll do the whole gangster movie, but only if you show them scenes that show you how awful drugs are. And so, yeah, you'll see me in the big penthouse with the Bentleys and all that, but I want you to see the crack addict mother who sells her kids." He says, "Show them that, because when they really see evil for what it is, they'll say, I don't want anything to do with that. And he's not a hero. And when our eyes are opened by God, we are all lost and broken in sin. And yet Jesus came to destroy sin. And when he opens our eyes to it, he says, hey, I'm not just opening your eyes to see how awful sin is. I'm pulling you out. We're all buried in it. We have a sickness called sin that leads to death. And Jesus said, I'm the cure. We are held captive. He said, I'm the hero. I'm the rescuer. I'm kicking doors down and I'm grabbing captives and setting them free. That's why Jesus showed up. He said, man, I'm liberating you. You were my enemy. And I'm not going to destroy you as enemies. I'm going to make you friends. I'm going to so transition your heart that you can call God your dad. And he'll say, yes, son, because he loves you. I'm going to make you a child of God, transferring you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the beloved son so that your heart beats for God. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. I want it to be on earth like it is in heaven, where there's joy and laughter and celebration, but it's over wonderful things. It's over the liberation of slaves and stuff like that. I want to celebrate that, and I want to pray like this and mean it. And so he says, I want to so transfer you that you pray like that, that you say, man, sin, I don't want anything to do with that. And yet the reality is for all of us, sin used to dominate us like an evil dictator in our heart. And when Jesus came, he toppled the dictator in our heart. Sin is no longer your master. And so sin inside of you, it has been toppled from its spot as dictator, but it's not dead. God hasn't eradicated all sin in us. That's for the end of the age. And so an illustration would be, you've got this little evil dictator in your heart. And he's not in charge anymore. He's been deposed. But he's still evil. He's still Hitler. And he's in there enticing you to go different directions, away from a movement towards God. And so the reality is, as we pray, Lord, you're my Father, your kingdom come, your will be done, we also have to pray, and forgive me my debts, because I still struggle and my heart's prone to wander. And yet as we close this prayer, we don't just pray for forgiveness of past sins. We pray that God would help us resist new ones, that I don't want to be a part of those. We're like The Biggest Loser. I don't know if you watch that show. Donna and I just started watching it. We're watching old ones. And I'm telling you, it's incredible. Usually TV is not very inspiring, right? But I watch this show and you'll see people that are huge when they get on that show. And by the end of 2 months, they will have lost like 130 something pounds. I mean, they would go from you're about to die, you're so unhealthy, to you just ran a marathon in like under 2 months. It's weird. And so we're watching this show, and you know, I don't cry at TV shows, but there's not been a week over this last couple months that Donna and I aren't like, you just put those donuts down, honey. All right. And we're just like, that is unbelievable. Look at you. All right. You just lost a person. You lost a human. It was like we just took a guy off of you. That's unreal. And yet there's been guys like Eric, who was on season 3. Eric came in weighing 407 pounds. He walked out at 193 pounds. If you're not doing the math, that man lost 214 pounds. He lost more weight than he weighed in that picture. He lost more than a him, like a him and some change. And then a couple months later, the same things that got him to 400 pounds, the same things that got him to a position where fat was wrapped around his heart and putting a time limit on his life of a decade, those same habits he went moving back to. And Eric is one of the stories from the show where he left, he won the show. And a couple years later, he had gained all of it back. And he sat on Oprah crying about it. And the reality is you look at that and you go, man, you were set free. Why go back to that which held you captive? And the reality is we've been set free, and yet there will be a pull back to that which was killing us. And so I watched one show where there was a guy on the show. He was 17 and weighed like almost 400 pounds. And the kid got on this show and started dropping weight, started believing in himself, started wearing like cutoff shirts, you know, and you're like, you can do it, buddy. Go ahead and wear the cutoff shirt. I don't care. You know, and he's doing all this, and they give him a week back at home. They say, hey, you get to go home for a week. And he goes home, and here's this guy believing in himself, eating right, working out, getting encouragement from his peers, and he goes back to his old buddies. And they take him to the bowling alley and buy him a beer, some chicken wings, and a big ice cream cake. And they say, let's celebrate. And you see on his face, oh. And he's looking at that, which when he sat in that doctor's office, he saw was killing him as a young man. And then this girl started giving him a guilt trip because he said, I can't eat that. I can't go back to this life. She's like, oh, now I feel all guilty and stuff. We were just trying to encourage you. It's just one. She started like, and if you ever use that tone, that kind of, don't. Just strike that. Whatever you're saying, even if it's something nice. Like, I was just going to give you some money. Don't. You know, just it never works. But she's sitting there guilt tripping him about not eating this ice cream cake. And the whole time I'm watching it, Donna and I are freaking out. We're like, get away from him, devil woman. We're like, look at his life. Celebrate the trajectory he's on. Don't try to pull him back to that which was killing him. And the reality is, it's true for us. Jesus has set us free. Jesus doesn't help us set ourselves free. We were dead and he made us alive, right? It's not like he helped us be moral. It's like he helped us go from corpse to a live person. And then he says, and now let me move you more and more towards freedom. And the reality is, there will be a tug in us that wants to pull us back to some destructive practices. And some of you know that. Some of you, God pulled you out of some really self-destructive things. And yet sometimes in the dark, your heart starts to pull you back, or a friendship does, or those buddies back in high school, or someone in the dorm. And you hear that call and you know, man, I know that leads to death, and yet something about it is enticing. And so God teaches us to pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from this evil. And so we're wrapping this up. I just think this happens to be the perfect text right before spring break. And I didn't plan that. You know, that was totally from the Lord. So take it for what it's worth. And God wants you to do this. So in just a couple seconds here, let me just tell you what's happening with this text. It's interesting. Lead me us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Sounds pretty straightforward. It was interesting reading commentaries, though, and they all go different directions on what exactly we're asking God to do. Some of them say, it shouldn't read temptation. It should read testing. Lord, lead us not into a moment of testing. And they say that because temptation, testing, it's the same word in Greek. And they say God never tempts people. It's very clear in James chapter 1. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, because God can't be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. And they say it's the same word. God doesn't tempt people. Therefore, it wouldn't make any sense to ask God not to tempt you. God does test people. He told his people in the Old Testament, I put you in the desert to test you, to see if you would obey me or not. God does test people. He doesn't tempt people. Therefore, it wouldn't make any sense to say, lead me not into temptation. Therefore, this should say, God, lead me not into testing, meaning, God, please save me from any environment that's in any way difficult or unpleasant. Now, the reality is, we can pray that. We can pray, God, get me out of a situation that's difficult and unpleasant. All through the Bible, you can do that. And so it's funny, I read one commentator that was like, we shouldn't pray to get out of hard circumstances. I mean, the Bible says, rejoice when you face trials of many kinds. It's like, yes, that's true. But in the book of Matthew, Jesus said of the end of the last days, he said, there will be wars and rumors of wars and great persecution. And then he told his disciples, and when you're persecuted, run to the next city and pray that it doesn't happen during winter. So he's telling them, yes, you will face persecution. Do it with joy, but then get out of there if you can get out of there and pray that the journey will be good. I love that. He's like, don't just pray, Lord, get me out of this difficulty. Pray that the journey would be pleasant, right? On the way out. And so all through the Bible, we can pray, God, get me out of a bad situation. And you can do that. And so when I hurt my back and was in a lot of pain, I was like, Lord, I trust you. I want to be joyful in the midst of this, but get me out of here. All right. And you can do that. If you're in a difficult situation, Lord, help me, rescue me, change the heart of my professor. All right. Or whatever you want to pray, you can do that. I don't think that's what's happening here, though, because if you look at the context, he's been saying, forgive us our debts. Get me away from the evil one. I don't think this is a context where he's saying, get me out of any situation that's difficult or unpleasant. I think he's talking about temptation. And to ask God not to lead you into temptation is not the same as saying God is the tempter. We'll talk about that in a second. Other people say, well, okay, maybe I'm saying not God, don't lead me into a difficult place, but Lord, don't lead me into a place where I might feel temptation. James described temptation as when our thoughts are solicited in a way that stirs our affections for something evil. And he says, maybe we're asking God to not put us in environments where that would happen. Like if my problem's alcohol, Lord, keep me away from a bar. Or if it's some person, Lord, keep me away from that girl or whatever. And I don't know that that's it either, because earlier in Matthew, it says, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. So God will do that. God will say, Jesus, I want you to come out here. Where are we going out here? Because I want the devil to tempt you in this moment. Go. And so God does that. Will God put you in situations where you feel temptation? Yes, he will. Yes, he will. And so what's happening in this prayer? What exactly are we asking him? Well, I think we get a clear answer in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 records the night Jesus was betrayed. And just in case you don't know this, Jesus knew it was coming. Jesus had said, hey, I'm going to die, everybody. When his feet were anointed by Mary, he said, this is for my burial. They're going to kill me. When he sat at dinner that night, he said, one of you is going to betray me. And Judas says, is it I? And he said, you said so. So he knew it was coming. He knew Judas was going to do it. And he told Peter, tonight, you're going to deny me three times. This is going down tonight. You guys are going to scatter. You're going to betray me. It was not a secret. And yet, in that moment, Jesus looks at his disciples and says, hey guys, come out to the garden with me. So Jesus leads them out to the garden, knowing they're about to get into a trial, a difficult moment. Jesus leads his disciples into what will be a trial. And when he gets there, he says, my soul's troubled, even to the point of death. And he says, men, sit up with me and pray. Jesus goes and prays. When he comes back, they're asleep. And so Jesus talks to them, and he says in verse 41, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. He looks at them and he says, guys, this is a serious night. I'm troubled. Pray with me. He leaves, comes back, and they're sleeping. And he says, you should not be sleeping right now. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. What's he saying? Is he saying, get me out of a trial? No. He led him into it. Is he saying, get me out of a situation where I will be tempted? No. He led him into that. What he's saying is, guys, you're about to face a difficult moment, and I want you to start praying that you won't enter into that temptation. That as the thoughts are solicited to your mind of doing some action that's not from faith, and the Bible says whatever is not of faith is of sin. If you want to act out of fear, act out of anxiety, act out of self-preservation, those thoughts will come, and your emotions will go, we should act on those. And I want you to be ready for that moment to resist that impulse. And so prepare yourself because the moment's coming. And they don't prepare themselves and they freak out when the moment comes. The interesting thing is Jesus, meanwhile, is doing exactly what he told them to do. Jesus walks away from them and hits the ground and says, Father, if there is any way to get this cup away from me, please do it. And so Jesus is letting you know in that moment, I'm about to face a difficult moment and there's part of me that wants to bail on the will of God. And I need to acknowledge that. And yet before that moment comes, Jesus stops to talk to his Father and says, Lord, there's a part of me that wants to rebel against your plan, but there's a bigger part of me that wants your will to be done. So Father, do your will. Steal me for this moment. And so when the moment arrives, his disciples aren't ready. Jesus says, let's go, boys. The betrayer's here. And you see, Jesus has prayed to get his heart ready so that when the tempting moment comes, he doesn't enter into it. He can stand outside of it. This is a place where that video was a great illustration, right? Because you go, Ben, what do you mean here? Was that a trial, a difficult circumstance for a kid? Even if there was no marshmallow, just sit in a chair till I come back would have been a trial for a kid, right? You put that marshmallow in front of him, that's a trial. Is it a moment where they were tempted? Yes, it was. And yet you could see when there was this moment where temptation could occur and when they crossed the line into entering into temptation, right? When did they start entering into it? Picking that thing up and smelling it. One kid's like, I can't look at it, but maybe I'll caress it. Right? What was that? You know? One kid's like, I just want to put my mouth on it. That's all. Just gonna put it right here. One kid kissed it. You're like, bro, you are careening over the edge, right? You are in temptation. You have landed in it. And how do you know you're in it? Because your mind is beginning to entertain the thoughts that have been solicited to it. And your heart is beginning to get stirred by that solicitation. And then you are only a hair's breadth away from action. And when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully formed, it gives birth to death. And that's what we got to get out of. So how do we avoid temptation? There's a lot I could say right now. There's a lot I've said in other talks, so I won't say it now. We could talk about place. You get out of there. Romans 13 says, make no provision for the flesh or the lust thereof. If you're in a place where you're tempted, get out of there. One of the best ways to lose weight is get bad food out of your house. Don't surround yourself with cakes and then go, do not be tempted by cakes. Get them out of there. Right? I had a doctor tell me when I broke my femur. He was telling me when I was in rehab, be smart about the things you do. Don't go to try to play football when your bones aren't healed. And the illustration he tried to use to tell me to think it through, he said, son, you don't jump into the back seat with that girl and then try to decide what you're going to do. You think about it before you get back there. And I was like, what? And then you could tell he got a little embarrassed because I didn't understand the illustration. He was like, when some people love each other very much, you know, and then he was like, forget it. Just don't play football right now. But I understand now what he was saying is you don't put yourself in a moment of high temptation and wait for that moment to decide, now what should I do here? You're toast. You make the decision before that, right? And so guys, you know, movie night at her apartment at midnight on the couch is probably not a good idea, right? I mean, most of you know that because it always starts here and it always ends here, right? And then the next morning you call each other and cry and we shouldn't have done that. We'll never do it again. Right. And then the next weekend you're like, let's just rent a movie, and you're in trouble, right? And so what do? You say, I see that coming. That is bad. I got to get out of there. Make no provision for the flesh. And that is just, that is provision for the flesh. That's like, what would the flesh enjoy tonight? Oh, this. That would be perfect provision. I got to get out of there. So we could talk about place. And honestly, some of you may need to change your spring break plans because you're going, man, it's cool. We're just all going to be down there at Padre every night drinking and I'll be fine. I'm not going to, what? She's just sitting on my lap while we're talking. It makes talking easier. Right. Good luck. Good luck with that. Think it through. I could talk about people. Hebrews 10 says, let us consider how to stir one another up towards love and good deeds. Hebrews 3, exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It says, get around a group of people that will exhort you to do good things. People that won't let you get hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. People that will say, hey, no, I see it working in you. You're starting to believe something crazy. Get out of there. You need to read Proverbs 5, right? 1 Corinthians 3 that says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Don't be deceived. You ride with an outlaw, you're going to die with an outlaw, right? And some of you go, man, I am running with a group of people that I want to be a minister to them, but when I'm out on them on the weekend, I am demonstrably a failure as a minister, and I normally compromise my motives. And so you need to realize, I'm not a minister on Friday night. I'll take them to lunch on a Wednesday when we're sober, and maybe I can be a minister. We could talk about people. We're not going to talk about that. I just want to talk about two things, and I'm going to do it so fast. Here we go. The first one is, there are two things we're given here. When you hit temptation, that moment, what do? The first thing you do is pray. This is a prayer. You're inviting God into the moment. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. God, get me out of here. And what does that rescue look like? Does he just take the desire away? Lord, help me if suddenly I'm not attracted to you. Weird. Go ahead and take off, right? Is that how it's going to work? Probably not. 1 Corinthians 10 says, no temptation has overtaken you except that is not common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with temptation, he will provide a way of escape so that you may endure it. What I love about that is when you call out to God for help, he'll kick the door in. He'll hold temptation at bay and open a window and say, get out of here. Get out of the building, right? That's what God will do. God will stop temptation enough to show you a way out of that moment, right? And so what do when you're tempted? You pray. What I do, I'll give you a recent example. I was in Mississippi a couple days ago, and it was on the back end of traveling all over the place. And I was preaching at this deal, got back late. I was exhausted. And Donna couldn't go with me on this trip, so I was by myself in Mississippi at the Econo Lodge, and I'm sitting there. And I couldn't sleep. And so I thought, well, I'll watch TV. And I thought, I'll just watch TV a while by myself. And then I thought, I need to think about that because, one, there's not going to be anything good on this late. And at best, I'll stay up later than I need to and be tired the next day when I really need to be operational for ministry. It'd be better to be rested. At worst, there'll be something skanktastic on TV. And I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to feel terrible about it tomorrow. And I'm going to compromise my devotion to the Lord and my devotion to my God and my joy. I'm going to steal my own joy. And I don't want to do that. But there's a part of me that's enticed by this. And I know it's the part of me that's thinking crazy. And I just have to believe that there's another part of me that's going to wake up tomorrow and be glad I didn't do this. But in that moment, I just had to say, and I pray like this all the time. I say, Lord, I want to acknowledge you in this moment. That's how it helps me. Because he can see me, right? It's not like he can only see us during daytime. He can see you at the clubs. We turn the lights down so other people can't see us. He can see you. He can see it. He's there. I'm just acknowledging he's there. That's all I do. I say, Lord, I want to acknowledge you're here in this moment. And Lord, I want to acknowledge what I'm thinking. And I tell him what I'm thinking. Lord, I'm thinking this. And Lord, I feel this. These are the reasons I feel that it's a good idea. And yet I know that all this rationale is kind of crazy. But it's very real in my head right now, and I just need you to help me in this moment. And as I did that a couple nights ago, I remembered that a couple days before, I had thought about that this moment might occur. And so I had downloaded a movie onto my computer that was all dudes I'm not attracted to and was boring. I didn't really care. And I thought, I did that just for this moment, that I could turn on a boring movie with all dudes, and it knocked me right out. And it was perfect. So I just put up my little iPad, turned it on. I was like, I don't care at all what's happening. And fell asleep. And I woke up, felt fantastic, right? And I don't always use myself as a good example, but we won that round, right? And it came from talking to the Lord about it. The second thing, and thank you for your patience, is this, is I think it's the Word of God. What is happening in this prayer? Jesus is telling us the words to say. And so Jesus is shaping our thinking. And so our most potent weapons against temptation are talking to God and thinking about the words of God, prayer and perspective. Jesus said it in John 17, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. That's what he said to his dad. Don't take them out of here, Lord. Put them in situations that will be challenging, but protect them from the evil one. And then he says, and sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Lord, let them grip truth in that moment.
Welcome to the Breakaway Podcast. We are so glad you're with us today. And my name is Jeremy. I'm sitting here with Ben Stewart in the Breakaway office. And it is the day after our final night of the Lord's Prayer series. Mm-hmm. And also the final night of our Shalom project.
It was a blowout.
What do you think, man?
I think it was awesome. I think it was one of the best breakaways ever. It was just an incredible night, man. Mm-hmm. So much energy, so much excitement. Around the best of all things, you know, the gospel, and then God using his people to minister to the least of these. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's so powerful.
It was incredible. And I know that everybody who was able to make it out just really were blown away by not only the worship that we got to just all experience together. Jeff was back with us, Jeff Johnson, and he's been gone for a while now because we've had all men's, all women's, and then so it's been about a month since we've seen him, and so that the worship was just so good, and then getting to have our special guest from Tiny Hands with us to sit down and share more about Tiny Hands, Doug, who is their executive director, was there last night, and he actually flew in from Lincoln, Nebraska, wanted to check out what was happening in Aggieland. And so you actually got to sit down with him and kind of do a little interview.
Amazing guy. Mm-hmm. And I just loved, one, he's a sharp guy, how articulate he is. And then two, that his heart is out there. I mean, and so him talking, we're actually going to, I interviewed him on stage, and we're going to put that interview on the podcast. We just got done with that moment. Thought that was amazing. And so if you're listening to this, the next podcast that'll swing around into your world will be that interview with Doug. So same night, it'll actually have that interview happened right before this talk you just heard. But we just thought, man, I just love that this guy has a passionate heart for the Lord and for caring for the hurting, and has a great mind that he's setting to the work, and was so inspirational to our students. And I walked away very energized by that conversation.
So. It was so cool. And I think that, you know, you sat down and talked to him for about 20, 25 minutes, and that alone preached to like just what he was sharing and the ways that God has used him and the faith that God has developed in him. So it's so cool. I can't wait for people to hear that interview. So like you said, we'll throw that up as the next kind of podcast that you'll receive after this one. And not only do we want people to be aware of the issue of human trafficking and sex trafficking, but just also hearing his story specifically and how God called him basically out of retirement and into this kind of second phase of life, which is really, really cool. So
Tiny Hands is this powerful connection of 20-year-olds and 60-year-olds uniting with a common vision for a people who are in desperate need. And so that right there was just, I'm resisting the urge to tell Doug's whole story, but you guys, and this actually works out perfect because we're off next week because of spring break. So we won't be here, but you will not be without a podcast.
You'll get to hear a little
Dougie
snippet.
Fresh.
So it'll be great. So we can't wait to share that with you. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we wrapped up the Shalom Project. This week of giving is kind of the final week. So last night, Breakaway was the last night for people to show up and give there. Then this week in the office, people are kind of dropping by, giving money and wanting to donate toward the project. And we updated everyone last night at Breakaway, kind of where we've been up until last night. So all men's and all women's, the past 2 weeks, we've combined given over $30,000 between those 2 weeks of giving, which is incredible. And then last night before Breakaway, over $20,000 was given.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy. Yeah, before we even started Breakaway, from like basically 8:15 until right when we started, almost $20,000 or over $20,000 were given toward the project. So then you stood up to kind of say howdy and give a short little announcement time, and we were looking at basically over $90,000 at that point total toward this project has been raised.
It was unreal. I mean, they did 30 the first night, roughly 15 the men's, women's, and then what shocked me is, you know, we had a masterpiece over the weekend, which was just incredible. Women's conference, girls came out, powerful time of worship and teaching. The girls had an amazing time, and they raised another $9,000 at Masterpiece. That's where I was like, whoa, where did that come from? And so, yeah, we were sitting in 70-something, and then last night someone came and ran me up a slip of paper while I was interviewing Doug, and I looked, and you guys were still scrambling to count it all, but we had zoomed past 90, and they've given even more after that. And so more money came in after that, quite a bit more, thousands more. And students were running up to us saying, I still want to give. I'm collecting this. I'm finishing this up. And so the door is still open. We haven't swung it shut yet. Tiny Hands door stays open, but I'm saying for Breakaway's Shalom Project, we are going to leave online giving open for another week. If you want to give online, because we know so many are, I mean, it's still pouring in, man. So we have sailed past our goal. We wanted $84,000 to build two homes for their dream center, homes that will house 12 to 16 very high risk kids and give them parents, a mom and dad, move into these homes who love the Lord and love kids and raise them at this center where they get an education that is the top education you can get in Nepal. I mean, it's this is something unbelievable. They're changing lives that, Lord willing, will change the culture of Nepal. So very exciting stuff happening. And the fact that we got to step in and are now on our way towards a third home is just unreal. So exciting, man. So energizing.
I think we got more in us. So if you're listening to this and are compelled to give, please do. We've got it on our website. You can go to breakawayministries.org and be a part of this amazing opportunity. So thank you guys who have already given. And if you did want a t-shirt, we took orders on this past Tuesday night for people. So if you ordered a shirt, you can pick it up when you get back from spring break. And if you didn't, oh well, you can still give money. But we're not mailing t-shirts to the world.
Right.
Because we don't have enough people to help us process all the orders.
Our little staff of five.
Yeah. So if you came to Breakaway, you're one of the blessed people who got a shirt. But we just can't believe the way that this first half, we're literally at the halfway point. We've had 8 weeks of Breakaway. It's flown by in a lot of respects. And then in some moments, it's just been amazing because it feels like it was just yesterday that we started. And so anyways, I know you led us through this series of the Lord's Prayer. We studied the Lord's Prayer and we wrapped it up last night.
Yeah.
And there were some challenges because we had Doug visiting, and so we really wanted to spend time with him. And then you tried to squeeze in what you called a devotional, which I started laughing because 40 minutes into it, I was like, this ain't no devotional.
Yeah, right. Well,
I mean, that's what we call devotional in Texas, I guess, like 40 minutes, but.
Right? Yeah. It's one of those deals where you're like, you give me a week to prepare, I'll write a 15-minute talk. You give me 5 minutes, I'll write an hour one. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I had time to prepare this, but trying to make it shorter, I think actually made it longer. I don't know how that works, but that's
how it was. Really good, though.
That's how it goes, man.
It was really good.
So this one wasn't all polished up when I got there, but it was in my heart. And so, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll listen to it and go, whoops, I shouldn't have said that or something. But as far as what my heart was, I feel good about it. So And I love teaching the series, man. Mm-hmm. The motivation for doing this is because I know many of them, you know, they're out there thinking, I don't have much scripture memorized. And so when I hit difficult times in life, it's like, oh, I'm at a zero, like I got nothing. It's like, well, you have the Lord's Prayer memorized. I think everybody does. The problem is the meaning isn't there. The words have kind of lost any depth. And so this series was to show them that the meaning is unbelievable. And so my hope is when they're out there on spring break or wherever you are struggling, you can recite the Lord's Prayer and pause in it and think about the depths of what you're saying. And that's my hope. So I even had a guy come up last night and say, man, I was reading Matthew 6 devotionally this morning. He said, and I wrote in my devotional, I got nothing out of this. He said, I wrote that sentence. He said, and then I feel like the Lord brought me here tonight to show me it's because you're not thinking very well about it, you know? And he said, and so thanks for helping me kind of see it, what God is trying to say, or what God is saying, and I wasn't hearing. But so anyway, I loved doing it and hoped that it was helpful. And again, just really appreciate the irony that we landed on Lead Us Not to Temptation right before spring break.
Yes, it was. So now tell me this.
Yes.
At the end of this series, I'm sure you have things that you're like, you guys need to go check out these resources. Mm-hmm. You need to probably like go think about this, that, or the other. What are some things you could encourage us with kind of now that we've landed here at this moment?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that I have any books that I'm like, here's the Lord's Prayer book. You know what I mean? I kind of had to scatter to the winds to really go deep in studying this. I will say this for us. There's a couple things that came to mind that we've done in the past. We did a series on the Trinity, the love of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the fellowship of the Spirit, that I was often in the background of my mind as I was thinking about this series. And I didn't re-preach that one, but it certainly complements.
Cool.
And so if you want to think more about that first part, about who God is, that would be something to go back and listen to. Or the series we did on the chief end of man, like why we're even here. I think that first part tags into that really well. On this back half, Lead Us Not into Temptation, there was so much, like I said, we could have said. I wanted to focus on this prayer because Jesus is saying, when you struggle with temptation, pray. That's what he encouraged his disciples to do. And it's what he's encouraging us to do. And then he's giving us the words to. And you see all through when he struggled with temptation with the devil, he quoted scripture. He had it loaded up, bam, quoted it. And he prayed that we would do the same, that God would sanctify us by his word of truth. And so my focus with this text is, how do you fight sin? You talk to God in the moment, and you have truth in your head that you can load up and begin to recite to yourself. Psalm 23, you know, Psalm 46, this text, you know, just find some that you can memorize easily, put it in your mind. But we've done numbers of other talks on other ways to fight sin. I think it's good to think of it like a tool belt. And when any different struggle comes, maybe it's anxiety for you or depression or lust or pride or anger, you go, what tool would work best in this moment?
That's good.
I would mention four talks we did in the past. One was called The War Room. It was part of a series called The Fight we did back in 06. It's one of my favorite things to teach. One we did in the midst of Colossians, off with the old and on with the new. We did that back in 08. Or I did a Impact conference, and there was one called about being led by the Spirit in 08 too. That's a lot about how do you walk in a way that helps you fight sin. Mm-hmm. Or we did Tempted and Tried, which was more unpacking James chapter 1 back in 09. So I had a number of students come forward and say, okay, so I'm in this situation. How do I fight this sin? How do I fight this temptation? I would send you to those four talks of ours, The War Room, Off with the Old, Led by the Spirit, and Tempted and Tried. Try those out and see if that doesn't give you a more well-rounded approach to how to struggle well.
Very cool.
Yeah, man.
Well, that's great, bro. And I think we've done it. I think we've made it through half the semester.
It's time to go on spring break.
And we're going on spring break. So you guys pray for all the Aggies that are scattering and all the colleges that are letting out for spring break. And just that when we all come back, we're really continuing in this really awesome kind of momentum that God has given us this semester. And that we all are back together again, ready for some more breakaway. We've got 8 more weeks after spring break. So
is that right?
Yeah.
That many?
Yeah, 8 and 8.
Well, I think we've had this first part, more students than ever, an additional conference that we've never done, more at our conferences than ever before. I mean, it has just been a tremendous first half of the spring. so proud of our team, so grateful for what God's doing in our midst. I think all of us are thrilled, our hearts are full, I think our bodies are ready for a break. But then I know we've got some exciting things planned for when we get back too, and I just can't wait to roll those out and start talking with you guys about it, because there's more to come, man.
There is. We love it. And there's been really cool emails that have been pouring in over the last few weeks from people that are listening to us from like the University of Wisconsin, Madison, Wisconsin, and then people that are in Ohio and just kind of all over right now that have been emailing us saying, thank you for this podcast. Thank you for what you're doing. I listen to it on my commute to work or on the school bus that I'm riding. And so we do thank you guys for just letting us kind of enter into your life like this, and count it a privilege and an honor to do it. So thank you guys so much, and happy spring break.
Take care.